Hello, I'm Dr. Robert Young, and I would like to share with you the research I've been engaged in. The subject I will be speaking about is acid-alkaline base. The topic is the alkaline pH of the body and the key to sustainable energy in the prevention of all sickness and disease. My background has been in traditional microbiology and biochemistry. So I was brought up in the theory of the germ theory as a microbiologist. The basic germ theory is very simply that the blood is sterile, the germs invade the body, and through this invasion of microorganisms, that sets the stage for sickness or disease. 1994, I first discovered a phenomenon that took place at the cellular level. What I'd witnessed was a blood cell transforming into a microform from a red blood cell into what appeared to be an Anthraxis bacillus or an anthrax bacteria. This recording of this biological transformation changed my life forever, because from that particular point I realized that cells had the ability to change their form and actually change even their function, much like water turning to ice or water turning to steam. It challenged me in that if this particular discovery flew right in the face of the germ theory. Rather than germs being specific entities, I realized that germs were nothing more than the biological transformation of what used to be a healthy cell. So bacteria, yeast, and molds were nothing more than a biological transformation or an evolution of what used to be a healthy plant, human, or animal cell. From this discovery in 1994, I began to research the effects then of lifestyle and dietary choices on the health of the human cell, and particularly specifically the red blood cell. For the last 20 to 25 years, I was viewing blood and asking good questions about what people were eating and what they were drinking and how those particular lifestyles and diets would affect the blood. And I studied the same people for over two decades, going back several times a year, looking at the same blood, asking the same questions, basic three questions. What are you eating? What are you drinking? And what are you thinking? Looking at the blood at the cellular level and seeing how lifestyle and diet had an impact on those particular lifestyle and dietary choices. I also discovered that there is a pH factor or a connection, that indeed what we eat and what we drink and what we think does make a difference. So what do healthy red blood cells look like? Well, they're round and symmetrical. They're even in color, even in shape. I discovered that those diets and lifestyles that were high in carbohydrates, those individuals that were having cravings for sugar, that their cells carried a specific pattern. The pattern was what is referred to as a codicyte, a red blood cell that has a target, a white center. I also saw this correlation with both type 1 and type 2 diabetics, that their blood was basically dehydrated, the centers were compressed. It was as if there was a hole in the center of their red blood cell, or the hemoglobin, which is the main molecule or the main material of the blood, had been eaten away or had been dissolved. Those diets then were being expressed as a factor of the blood. When I looked at thousands upon thousands of client patients who were eating a diet that was high in carbohydrate, and this included high sugar fruits like oranges and bananas and pineapples, that their blood was not as healthy as the blood of those that were actually were ingesting a plant-based diet that was centered more around grasses. Green grasses and green fruit like avocados and cucumbers, and green vegetables like broccoli and leafy greens like spinach. Another pattern that I noticed in live blood was that diets that were high in protein, that their blood was more connected together, that they were experiencing circulation problems and to the extremities, particularly the hands and the feet, that they had oxygen problems. And this was expressed by the red blood cells chaining themselves together, which didn't allow the blood to flow to the extremities because a blood cell has to pass into the small capillaries single file. They cannot go into groups. The opening is actually smaller than the size of the red blood cells. And when they group together, this causes circulation problems to the extremities. Again, I also, during this three and a half decade span, I started to evaluate how blood would coagulate in relationship to what one was eating and drinking and thinking. And what I also noticed is that the blood would actually form clots outside the body and form specific patterns that were uniquely remarkable to specific symptomologies. For example, in the picture that you're seeing here of dry blood that's coagulated, it looks like it's cracked. White lines are protruding from the center out, which is a condition that is associated with all client patients that are dealing with osteoarthritis or osteoporosis, the body, or an overacidic condition where the body is actually pulling calcium and magnesium ions into the blood, pushing the pH of the blood up, causing the blood to crack or go into a hypercoagulated state. So over the years, I started studying the way blood coagulated and the patterns it's formed and those associations to specific health conditions. Was there was a direct relationship between what one was eating, what one was drinking, and what one was thinking on the health of the blood, with the theory that the blood is the most important organ of the human body, and the health of the blood then determines the health of all of our glands, all of our organs, all of our tissues. If we have healthy blood, it was then synonymous to healthy body cells and body organ systems. When the blood was not healthy, then of course there were symptoms that were negative. So those could be expressed from what I call the seven stages of acidosis. It could be expressed as enervation or irritation or a mucus, what is called catarrh, or an inflammation or ulceration or induration or even a degeneration, which is the highest stage of degeneration of the blood where cells are actually transforming and going through this biological transformation. So here's a picture of what healthy blood looks like. The cells are round and symmetrical, even in color, even in shape, and you'll notice there's not that white target in the center that's characteristic of diets that are high in carbohydrates, high in sugars. And it doesn't matter if it's just plain, you know, processed sugars. It could be raw sugar, it could be sugar from fruits. Any high sugar diet is going to affect the quality of the blood, and it's going to cause a depletion of hemoglobin and cause the blood to be able to carry less oxygen, and in turn also create circulation problems too as well. Here is an example of an individual who was diagnosed with neutrophilic leukemia, where we see a high white count. We actually see the condition of the white blood cells where they're full of bacteria and yeast. The question I ask myself is, where is all this yeast and bacteria coming from? I realized after years of study that this bacteria and yeast are actually born in us and from us. From the breakdown or the degeneration of our own body cells, we're actually evolving into the bacteria, into the yeast that the white cells were trying to deal with, trying to purify and maintain the alkaline design and the purity of the internal fluids of the body. The cells begin to break down. And so I I noticed a correlation between high white count and high acidity, and high acidity from lifestyles that were geared towards acids from protein and acids from carbohydrates, which also causes the blood to stick together. So here is what healthy blood, again, should look like. The cells should be round and symmetrical, even in color, even in shape, and the plasma, which is the fluid around the cell, should be clean. I've only been able to achieve this type of blood in myself and others who are eating a plant-based diet with liberal amounts of green foods, greens for breakfast, greens for lunch, and greens for dinner. And most of this is generally raw. When the blood coagulates, this is the pattern in which the blood appears, hypercoagulated, where the color is red throughout the entire clot and being held together by fiber monomers, which are proteins that actually form in a millisecond to form the clot so that we don't bleed internally or externally. This is the normal pattern. When we look at blood from a cancer patient, we see that the blood cells are corrugated like bottle caps where spots are coming from there. We'll also see in the degeneration of these cells the birth of yeast and other bacterial forms that will increase, and those will appear, of course, in the blood plasma. There'll be an irregular shaping of the red blood cells, so they'll be more oval shape or smaller than normal, sometimes even larger than normal. And then in the way the blood patterns, I was able to correlate colon cancers and significant deficiency in the blood. And when the cells started to break down, they released carbohydrates and proteins and fats, and those proteins would polymerize, and the proteins would actually show up as white, pasty masses in the clot of the blood. And when I saw those blood, when I saw those white pasty masses, as you're seeing in the picture to the right, in a cluster, I was able to associate that pattern with colon cancer. And the wonderful thing about this is there is not a single medical test being done that is non-invasive that actually gives this type of information related to specific conditions of the organs and the organ systems. The blood patterns in specific ways that are either healthy or unhealthy. That is why I always say that there's only two blood types, healthy blood types and unhealthy blood types. And the diets that are associated with those individuals on the planet that have the healthiest bodies, that live the longest, that really have achieved sustainable energy, is when they're moving more to those foods that your mom was recommending you to eat on a daily basis. Remember when your mom told you to eat your greens? Well, guess what? She was right. Eating grass is a difficult thing. And so we have to juice it or blend it. Eating greens is difficult because of its fibers to break down with our teeth. And so the best way to eat grass, whether it be wheatgrass or barley grass or kamut grass or straw grass or dog grass, all of these wonderful green grasses that when we eat them in quantity helps to build our hemoglobin, our blood, and in turn helps to build healthy body cells. And so here's an example of a woman who came to me with a 15-year condition of eczema. Her skin was terrible. I mean, it was broken out all over her body. You can actually see the high white counts and the unhealthy red blood cells that had targeted. Yes, she was on a protein diet of animal proteins and sugars from a lot of different sources. When I put her on the pH Miracle diet, which is basically a diet of live, raw, green, electron-rich foods, both fruit and vegetables, primarily raw, and generally liquefied or juiced or blended. Within 30 days, her symptoms cleared up, not because I was focusing on the skin, because the skin is an elimination organ. The skin is the expression of what's happening on the inside as the body is moving acidic waste products from metabolism and diet through the pores of the skin. And when I focused on the gut, cleaning that up and healing the core of the body, and then restoring health to our root system, which are the intestinal villi, and providing the proper food in a liquefied, alkaline state, you know, with high chlorophyll content, the blood shifted. And as the blood shifted, all of her symptoms changed from an unhealthy state to a healthy state. Here's another example of someone with Bell's palsy. That's facial paralysis. We look at the blood, the red blood cells are irregularly shaped. There's what are called colloidal symplasts or cities of garbage, of debris that's been crystallized by the body, which can be congestive. And this is the state of the blood. And, of course, the symptoms then express that imbalance as which begins in the core and the condition of the blood. As we began to focus on healing the blood, which is really at the foundation of the pH miracle lifestyle and diet, strengthening the blood, cleaning up the environment, taking a contextual approach, an environmental approach, you know, alkalizing, maintaining the alkaline design of the body, restoring the health to the blood, then we can restore the health to the tissues. And within 30 days, you know, the Bell's palsy reversed itself and the facial paralysis was gone. So I love this quote by Thomas Edison. The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but will involve the patient in the proper use of food, fresh air, and exercise. And I have based all of the recommendations that I make in food and exercise on how does that particular food, that particular drink, that particular emotionality, that particular exercise, how does it impact the most important organ of the human body, the blood? It is the blood that determines the health of all other body cells. Why? Because it is the blood that gives birth to your bones, your muscles, every organ, every gland, every cell of the human body is made from blood. And the quality of that blood is determined then by what you eat, what you drink, and what you think. As we look at the pH, which, you know, pH is an acronym from the science perspective that stands for the potential of hydrogen. What are we measuring? Measuring the hydrogen concentrations or the acid concentrations of a particular food or drink. We can also measure the acid concentrations of what an emotion will do too as well. So our emotions, which require energy, can become biology that can produce acidic waste products, and that can also be measured too as well. But the pH scale goes from 0 to 14, 7 being neutral, and our blood is pH balanced to 7.365, and it's a very delicate pH balance, and it can't move to the right or left more than 0.2 tenths of a point. If it does, then, of course, you start experiencing symptomologies. And so what I started doing was not only seeing from the cellular level how foods affect the blood, but also how foods affect the delicate pH balance of the blood and the saliva and the urine or the interstitial fluids of the body. And realize when the body was in pH balance, which pH now changes from the potential of hydrogen to the acronym of when the body is in perfect health, pH meaning perfect health, it's when we're in an alkaline state because we were born there. What I discovered is this is the natural, healthy state for sustainable energy and the prevention of disease. That when we maintain that alkaline design, this is when we enjoy the greatest health. And when we're eating foods like beef and chicken and pork, these are not the foods that are sustainable for healthy blood, for maintaining the alkaline design. And when we're drinking coffee or alcohol or eating high sugar high sugar fruits like apples and oranges and pears and bananas, these types of foods do not build healthy blood and do not maintain the alkalinity of the fluids of the body. They push it down. And so when we realize that sugar is a metabolic waste product or an acid that destroys life, then we try to eliminate wherever the source is away from, the most important body fluids, our body fluids, and the most important organ of the body, which is the blood. So doing this, we have to do this. I have shown over and over again, and when I say over and over again, I've looked at close to 1 million samples of blood and close to now 60,000 individuals where I've been studying. The healthiest people in over 72 different countries, when they are achieving sustainable energy, perfect health is when their diet is more focused on green foods, green drinks, and exercise and good emotional balance. And so my wife, Shelley, she has developed an array of many recipes in organizing these foods in a way that are simple and can taste good. And there's a lot of ways to prepare broccoli, and there's so many different varieties of salads and ways to puree and season foods, so it tastes good. But the way that I start my day out is with a beautiful green drink of juice, spinach, and parsley, and celery, and cucumbers. These are the foods that build blood, that build strong, healthy bodies. Well, when we're doing this, you end up achieving what I call a pH miracle. And a pH miracle is really that perfect health that one is seeking. And the problem today is that most scientists, and both in the allopathic world and the alternative world, do not understand the natural phenomenon, the cause and effect relationship. Most of what we do in nutrition is treat symptoms. Most of what we do in medicine is treat symptoms, not understanding the foundational physiology of the body. And I like to compare that to a metaphor. I call it the fishbowl metaphor. In fact, it starts out with a question. When the fish is sick, what would you do? Would you treat the fish or would you change the water? So think about that. Would you treat the fish or would you change the water? The common sense answer is the fish is only as healthy as the water it swims in. And so obviously the correct answer is you would change the water. This is true with the human body. The human body is predominantly water. We are 90% water when we are born. We're below 70% when we become dehydrated. 70%, by the way, is dehydration. It's very, very important to include alkaline fluids into the diet to maintain that constant flow of alkaline fluids to neutralize acids and also to push excess metabolic, dietary, respiratory, and environmental acids out to the four channels of elimination, which are what? Urination, number one, defecation, two, respiration, three, and perspiration, four. When any of those four channels become blocked, this is when the fish gets sick. This is when the body gets sick. The body then and the cells that make up the body are only as healthy as the environment that they swim in. So the foundational then hypothesis of my work after 35 years is that the human body is alkaline in its design and that all functions of the human body are acidifying. Our thoughts, our words, our deeds, all of these create metabolic, dietary, respiratory acids that can make us sick and tired if they're not properly eliminated through the four channels of elimination. So one, the pH miracle theory is that the human body is alkaline by design and acidic by function. So all of the functions require energy, and that energy that we consume produces acidic waste products that, if not properly eliminated, can make us sick and tired. So that's why over 30 years ago I made the statement that there's only one sickness, one disease, and therefore only one treatment. There's not many sicknesses. There are variations of the one sickness, which is the over-acidification of the blood and tissues due to an inverted way of living, eating, and thinking. There's only one sickness, and therefore there's only one health, which is perfect health, perfect pH balance, and therefore there is only one treatment. Isn't this simple? The one treatment is to simply maintain the alkaline design of the body and to preserve the quality of the cells, particularly the blood, which make up all of our other body cells. Now we're going to get into this in a little more detail, because life and death begin in the core, or the gut of the body. This is the foundational area, the core of where blood is made, where stem cells are made. I'm going to give you some information on this, which is unique to any other research out there in the world. But things are changing, and we're learning more and more about how the body really works. One of the main problems today and throughout in America and throughout the world is we have become a fat nation. Obesity is epidemic, and from obesity, diabetes is epidemic too as well. It's on the rise, and degenerative disease, of course, is on the rise, as we know. But I think we have a misconception about obesity. Because obesity, even though that 127 million people are overweight, they're really not over fat or overweight. They're over acid. As we look at the three then top killers, you know, cancer, diabetes, and we look at obesity, heart attack, of course, is the number three. As we look at obesity as the body trying to protect itself from acids that can then give rise to this sickness of cardiovascular disease, which is a symptom of acidity, and the body then protects itself by packing on the pounds. So 4 million Americans are topping the scales at more than 300 pounds. I would suggest this is not an overweight problem, it's an over acid problem. As we look at the average weight of American woman is 163 pounds, and the average for an American male is 196 pounds. How do you reverse this? Well, you have to understand the pH miracle. You have to understand the foundational theories that the body is in perfect health when it's in its alkaline state. When the body's elimination organs cannot remove its own metabolic, dietary, respiratory, or environmental acids out through the four channels of elimination, the body has to buffer those, neutralize those, and they go first into the connective tissue and then out into the fatty tissue. If the acidic lifestyle and diet continues, the body will pack on the pounds as a place to protect itself, to park the excess acids that are not being properly eliminated through these four channels of elimination, so it goes from the blood to the connective tissue to the fatty tissue. So once again, obesity is not a fat problem, but it's an acid problem. As we look at one of my patients, Mitzi Major, who lost 90 pounds in 90 days, that happens automatic. The loss of 1 to 3 pounds per day when you hyperperfusing the tissues of with alkalinity, as you're clearing the channels of elimination, opening up the bowels, the kidneys, the urinary tract system, the lungs, through exercise and exercise breathing techniques, and then when you're opening up the pores of the skin to allow these acids, this is when the body stops collecting fat to park acid, but releases this excess fat as a protective mechanism. But I was looking at a variety of different diets, like the Atkins diet. I noticed that all of the blood samples I took from those patients that were on a high-protein diet were all constipated. They all had congestion and even damage to the core of their body. And what happens when you're on a high protein diet, you create this constipation and this congestion, and because the body is producing 3 million red blood cells per second, if the body does not have a healthy core and gut and there's congestion in the small intestine, particularly in the crypts of the small intestine, the body goes into what is called reverse transformation, and the body starts making blood out of its own tissues. It's like people lose weight on a high protein diet. They're actually pushing or forcing themselves into body wasting. As we look at Andrea Dare, who was on the Atkins diet, she complained of still being overweight, still couldn't lose that last 10 to 15 pounds, and being constipated. She's constipated with undigested food, animal proteins, which cannot liquefy, because all food has to liquefy in order to be transformed in the gut. If not, it's just pushed out and passed. And of course, she had the patterns of one who had irritable bowel or pre-cancer in the gut. How do we know that? Just the way the blood coagulates. If you're looking at this picture, you see the dark circle in the center, which is undigested animal protein, and the white circles indicating the inflammation of cells that are breaking down in that part of the body, in the center of the core of the body, giving rise to the symptoms that she was experiencing. Well, within 90 days, she went from a size 10 to a size 2. She lost over 15 kilos, which is 30 pounds. And she was able to do this by not focusing on losing weight, but restoring health to the core of her body, building healthy blood, and in turn, bringing her pH by focusing on the alkaline design of her body, by eating alkaline foods and drinking alkaline drinks. So we see the before and after pictures of her with her husband, because her husband joined her, Michael. And of course, he lost weight and lost inches too as well. And he's in the construction business and suffered from back pain, and that alleviated because you can't have pain without acid or acid without pain. David Gorder lost 50 kilos or close to over 100 pounds in 12 weeks. Why? Not because he was on some sort of a fast or deprivation program or low-calorie diet. No. He was on a program that was restoring the perfect health or perfect pH of the body through an alkalizing process going towards green foods, green drinks, and building healthy blood. Michael Maine, 150 kilos. This is where he's at after 12 weeks. Look at the difference in the blood from high yeast, from shadow cells, from blood that's not healthy, showing in the dry blood where there's large polymerized protein pools, going to a normal clotted blood with healthy round symmetrical cells, and of course then you get the restoration of the body. Now you have a body that's healthy and strong. And of course his wife Barbara also got on the program too and lost weight, or should we say lost acid. Ryan Marcotte was an interesting case. He got on the program not to necessarily lose weight, but he wanted to get into better shape. And within 12 weeks, he lost 31 pounds of fat and gained 11 pounds of muscle. And what most people don't understand, both in traditional and alternative medicine, is that muscle is not built by protein. Muscle is built from blood. And so when we improve the quality of the blood, we improve the quality and health of the muscles that are being created. So on a basically low or plant-based diet of greens, which have very low concentrations of plant proteins, but high in chlorophyll, this is when you can start building the blood, which in turn then builds body cells. And so in 12 weeks, he was on the Body for Life contest. He actually won it, but he was disqualified because he didn't use Bill Phillips' program. He used the pH Miracle diet. He was able to lose the weight, gain the muscle on a whole foods, raw, electron-rich green food diet that focuses more on pureed and juiced foods that are high in chlorophyll. Also, a unique aspect of the pH diet is it's also high in good, healthy oils, polyunsaturated oils that I recommend from hemp oil and from flax oil and from borage oil. Why? These omega-3, 6, and 9s have multiple unsaturations that then can absorb, like a sponge, hydrogen ions or acids to neutralize the acids from metabolism, diet, environment, and respiration to keep the pH in an alkaline state to keep the body healthy. So the driving force then of every human cell, of all blood, are green foods. And I love this quote by Dr. Bircher Benner where he said, and I quote, absorption and organization of sunlight, the very essence of life, is almost exclusively derived from plants. Plants are therefore a biological accumulation of light. Since light is the driving force of every cell in our bodies, that is why we need plants, and specifically green plants. So I came up with this formula. As we put more light in our bodies, with green foods, we're actually the green foods being the carrying agent of that light, the molecule being the chlorophyll that in turn build blood and in turn build healthy flesh. So if our heart was challenged or if our liver was challenged, how do we restore the health to the heart, to the liver, to any muscle, to any gland or any tissue of the body, to the bones? We have to do that by restoring health to the blood, and we do that by eating foods that are high in light and foods that carry the concentration of light that absorb through a process of photosynthesis. We know this in plants. They absorb that light into chlorophyll molecules with the center atom being magnesium, holding that light. And then as we look at the molecular structure of the molecule of blood, we see it is identical to the same structure of the chlorophyll molecule. So we've actually quantified this by taking comprehensive blood counts, by taking daily hemoglobin tests, testing the hemoglobin. One eats more green foods, the concentration of hemoglobin goes up to a more normal state. And this is one of the deficiencies that I'm seeing in most people throughout the world, because they're not eating a diet that's high in chlorophyll. They're not getting enough greens in their diet, and that is the color, the light carrying to the body. And when one does, the blood improves, the hemoglobin goes up, and we can quantify that using a comprehensive blood count. Well, for a bodybuilder, rather than building muscle secondarily with animal proteins, which is not the way to build healthy muscle, definitely doesn't build healthy blood, is by moving our bodybuilders, our professional and amateur athletes, into focusing more on green foods and green drinks, building their blood and then building their muscles. And this is how they're increasing their agility, their performance. They can jump higher, they can run faster, they can swim faster, they have more life force energy, so it's more sustainable, the recovery times are less. And we're doing this with a plant-based green electron-rich diet. All the animals, the strongest animals in the world, these animals are on a plant-based diet, but you'll notice that their diet is significantly green. This is how they build their bodies. Think of the racehorse, how strong racehorses are. The cow, one of the strongest animals in the world, the rhinoceros. I mean, these are green-eating animals, and they're eating this green naturally, which helps to build their blood and sustain their life. Well, blood is the most basic material of the human body. Body cells, once again, of all types, muscle, bone, liver cells, heart cells, are all made from blood. And it's actually a two-way street. Body cells can also be reverse transformed into blood when there is congestion or damage to the gut. So one new scientific breakthrough that I want to share with you, which is unique to my research and understanding, that normal blood production originates primarily in the small intestine. Not that other places blood cannot be created, but it can, but only when there is damage or congestion to this part of the body. Our intestinal tract is 27 feet long. I mean, the surface area is 7,200 square feet, the size of a tennis court. As I mentioned, we're producing 3 to 4 million red blood cells per second. And we understand that this blood then is the most important cell of the human body. I call it the stem cell. In fact, in the crypts of the small intestine is where stem cells are produced. Let me show you a picture of that. We see these appendages, which are like tentacles, like the roots of a plant or roots of a tree. When these are healthy, when we're young, it seems like we can eat anything, but they become damaged and we're not able to eat a lot of the acidic foods that we ate when we were younger. The reason why is because we damaged this root system. But these appendages contain blood vessels and lymphatic vessels that are essential to bringing oxygen and also bringing new blood back to the heart and then to the lungs and then to general circulation. As we look at this primary site for blood production, there are two main important understandings. And the first one is that food has to be in a liquid state in order to be transformed in the crypts of the small intestine into stem cells. And two, the pH of that food has to be at least at an 8.4. 8.4 in a liquid state, this is how new stem cells and new blood is formed. When we have foods that don't digest, particularly from animal proteins, this area becomes damaged, it becomes congested, and in the bottom pictures you actually see the damage on the left-hand side to the intestinal villi. When that happens, we cannot produce blood, and we cannot ample amount of blood, we cannot produce body cells. It's the main reason why those who can eat just about anything or as much as they want and they can't seem to gain an ounce of body weight is because they've severely damaged their root system. They're not making not only the amount of blood, but the amount of quality blood to restore the health to their bones and their muscles. This is what happens to cancer patients. The focal point of cancer, any symptomology, any disease begins in the core and the health of the gut. This is, no pun intended, my core belief. Health begins in the core. The quality of health begins in the core, in the crypts of the small intestine where stem cells and new blood is made. And I'm showing you these pictures here so you have a visual of that. And of course, when we look at the articles that you can Google, there's substantial evidence that now scientists have discovered also, which is substantiating my work, that stem cells are indeed made in the crypts of the small intestine. Here's a jejunal biopsy. Upper left and right pictures show the normal villi and finger and leaf patterns. The bottom left and right pictures show abnormal mosaic patterns with obvious damage to the villi. When this happens, you're going to be experiencing, you know, sickness or dis-ease in the body. But it all begins in the gut. Well, one of my major discoveries within the last few years is the understanding of the digestive system not as a system to break down food, but as a system to alkalize food. And the major organ to maintain the alkaline design of the body is the stomach. Now, I know this is in dichotomy to what others are teaching and what is being espoused in medical texts, but what I've discovered is significant, and it's important, and it has been shown, demonstrated, and proven. This is a biochemical fact. For every molecule of hydrochloric acid that is produced in the stomach, an equal amount of sodium bicarbonate is created too as well. The body stomach specifically pulls carbon dioxide, water, and salt from the blood into the cells of the cover cells of the stomach, the lining of the stomach. It is there that sodium bicarbonate is created to alkalize the food. When you put food in your mouth, the first thing that happens is alkalinity is secreted in the form of sodium bicarbonate. This is made by the stomach. The glands within the cover cells and the glands within the stomach secrete sodium bicarbonate to raise the pH. Why? Because the food has to be in an alkaline state in order to be transformed into stem cells. Even the gland, the pancreas, is secreting sodium bicarbonate. The whole system, from the mouth to the stomach to the pancreas, the gallbladder, in the duodenum to the small intestine, the secretions are all alkaline. The pH goes up, not down. This is in complete dichotomy, which is being taught in traditional medical sciences. But when we understand that the stomach now is an organ of contribution, is alkalizing the foods, are alkalizing the foods that we're eating, the thoughts that we're having, the liquids that we're drinking, and that our sodium bicarbonate increases as we're consuming energy as a protection. This is why, you know, many of us end up with upset stomachs or indigestion, because when the body is lacking alkalinity, the stomach kicks in to produce sodium bicarbonate to either alkalize the food or pull that alkalinity into the blood to maintain its delicate pH of 7.365. Here is the formula. It's very simple. Salt plus water plus carbon dioxide equals sodium bicarbonate. And for every molecule of sodium bicarbonate, hydrochloric acid is produced as a waste product of sodium bicarbonate production. Where does the hydrochloric acid go? It falls into the gastric pits away from the food. Because the whole intention of the whole alimentary canal is no longer digestion, but the alkalization of the food. And the stomach is the primary organ to do that. Well, this then shifts us into a whole new paradigm then for sickness and disease, and a whole new paradigm for health and well-being. The new paradigm for sickness and disease I call the cycle of imbalance, and I'll introduce the cycle of balance later. The cycle of balance basically has four stages. There has to be some physical or emotional disturbance, which two gives rise to cellular disorganization, which then gives rise to developmental morbidity or the production of microforms as a creation of cellular transformation, not the cause of the breakdown of cells, but the result of the transformation of those cells due to a compromised environment from lifestyle and dietary choices, and the increase of debilitating acids as a waste product of this transformation that has to be eliminated. If not, then it goes out into the connective tissues and the fatty tissues. As excess acidity builds up, as one is in this cycle, the first symptom that one experiences is enervation, is loss of energy. The second one is irritation. The third one is catarrh, which is mucus. The fourth one is inflammation. The fifth stage of acidosis is induration, or hardening of the arteries, or hardening of any tissue. And the sixth stage is ulceration, and the seventh stage is the final stage of excess acids, which is degeneration. To summarize all this, all sickness and disease is an expression of acidity. You cannot have an ill symptomology. You cannot be out of balance. You cannot have a dis-ease without acid. Acid is the cause of all sickness and disease. There are many scientists that saw this. Emily Roos, Alexander Yersin. They grew a broth thick with diphtheria. No bacteria actually survived. But the sterilized liquid that passed through this porcelain when it was injected into animals actually did the killing. And, of course, I don't believe in animal studies, but bottom line, it is acid that kills. These are waste products of the body. So the foundational theory is based on then two premises. One, that the human body is alkaline in its design, and two, all functions of the human organism are acidifying. And when I was doing some research on diabetes in 1994, I discovered this pH factor, that the environment, when it became acidic, caused the transformation of cells, which then gave rise to cells, even red blood cells, to give birth to bacteria, yeast, as an evolutionary stage of transformation of healthy matter, rather than bacteria and yeast being species specific. It's very important to understand this, because rather than treating for bacterial or yeast infections, we realize that this is a scientific myth, that yeast and bacteria are outfections of the transformation of cells based upon a compromised environment, when the environment in an ideal, perfect health situation should be alkaline. And of course, there's documentation of this that was published in the annals of the New York Academy of Sciences in 1967. This is what happens. This phenomenon of transformation, which is called pleomorphism, actually takes place. And so this has been something that scientists have looked at, have viewed, but have not been able to correlate it to lifestyle and dietary processes and how these transformations can take place based upon, you know, what we're eating, what we're drinking, and what we're thinking. So once again, the human body is an acid-producing organism by function, yet it is alkaline in its design. So understanding this alkaline-acid balance with the pH scale is critical as it pertains to the environment and maintaining health of the human cell. The pH scale from 0 to 14 is a logarithm. Any change in one point is to the power of 10, so a pH of 7, which is the midpoint from 0 to 14, if the pH goes from 7 to 8, that's a 10 times increase. Well, if we're looking at what the stomach is producing, which is sodium bicarbonate, which is being then secreted on the food to raise its alkalinity, that secretion is a pH of 8.4, so close to 8.5. which is 10 times from 8 to 9, which is 100 times, this alkaline compound is 50 times more alkaline than the midpoint and our blood, which is slightly pH'd at 7.365. But anything that's below, of course, 7, going to 6 is 10 times more acidic, or 5, 100 times, or you know, if it goes to 4, 1,000 times, 3 is 10,000 times, 2 is 100, is a million times. And what we're measuring is the concentration of hydrogen ions or hydroxyl ions. So when we have more hydrogen ions in a fluid, an aqueous solution, we're going to have, that's going to be more proton concentrated, so it's going to be more acidic versus, let's say, a pH of 7 or above is going to have more hydroxyl ions, OH minus, more electrons, and this is the natural healthy state of the human body. So probably one of the most important measurements that we can do is to measure the pH of our fluids, to measure the pH of our saliva, make sure that the pH of the saliva is at least 7.2 before eating, that the pH of the saliva is at least 8.4 after eating something, that our urine should be at least 7.2 or greater. When we're eating alkaline foods, that should be very, very stable. We shouldn't see pHs of urine in the 6s or the 5s. These pHs in the urine is a reflection of the pH of the interstitial fluids. And so we're measuring the pH of the urine. We're actually measuring the pH of the fluid, the interstitial fluids of the body, which are the fluids that surround the cells, which is, that's what the urine is. It's a product of the fluids of the tissues, where the saliva is your alkaline gauge to determine, you know, if you have the alkaline reserves to alkalize the food or lifestyle that you're living. So it's very, very important to keep that above 7.2. And the reason why is because when we look at this from a biochemical standpoint, it takes 20 parts of alkalinity of bicarbonate to neutralize one part of an acid of metabolism, which is carbonic acid, in order to maintain a pH of 7.365. That's a 20-to-1 ratio. That's why we age. That's why some people age faster than others, because if you're eating acid foods, or if you're eating a lot of acidic foods, then you're going to age a lot faster because the body has to deal with more of these acid loads. And so when we realize that the biochemistry is quite extreme, that it takes 20 parts of alkalinity to neutralize one part acid, then we need to really focus in on managing this alkaline design, which is our bodies, which are the fluids of the body. So the body uses and makes bicarbonates. When we run out of bicarbonate, it'll use our own blood, specifically the hemoglobin. It'll use phosphates. It'll use plasma proteins, which is part of the electrolytes, the proteins within our blood, the electrolytes, sodium, potassium, magnesium, calcium will be used. The body uses cholesterol, a form of low-density lipoproteins to neutralize acids, hormones, even water. The body will retain water to neutralize acidity. And one of the major contributing factors to excess acidity that will always lead to pH imbalances and then eventual sickness and disease is the ingestion of protein. The second indirect source of acidity would be from sugars. And so these are things that we need to be aware of, and we need to minimize if we want to achieve outstanding health. When we're looking at some of the foods, for example, orange juice has a pH of 2.81. I don't recommend drinking orange juice. I don't care if it's fresh juice or not. It's highly acidic. It contains an acid called citric acid, which throws out more hydrogen ions into the body and into the blood, which can, of course, pull energy and alkalinity that the body needs to sustain itself. When we look at things like Red Bull Energy at 3.26, or Snapples, or Power Bars, or Soda Pops, we can see that they're highly acidic, and these acids are coming from phosphoric acid or carbonic acids, or other acidic ingredients, even caffeine, that are going to deplete our alkaline reserves. Also, their electrical potential pulls energy from the body. When I measure the electric potential of these foods, they show high concentrations of protons. Protons are positive charges that pull life force energy from the body. So their charges are in the positives. We look at orange juice versus, let's say, beer. Actually, beer has more life force energy and has a higher pH than orange juice. Coffee has a pH of around 5. It's still acidic. It's still enervating. It's still proton saturated. Soy sauce is another good example of food that I highly recommend vinegars also to eliminate, because they're highly acidic and they put in more hydrogen ions and cause the body to produce or to pull alkalinity from the blood in order to neutralize those acids, in order to protect the core, the root system of the body. Urine, ideally should be at 7.2 at negative 56 millivolts. So it should be electron concentrated. It should be energized at 7.2. I don't recommend drinking it. I recommend drinking more fresh juices. Now, fresh juices, because they're physically disturbed, you're going to have a little lower pH. And so that's why I recommend diluting the juices to a 1 to 3, even up to, for babies, up to a 1 to 10, and then adding an alkaline compound like sodium chloride or potassium hydroxide to raise the pH of the juice and get it back up into the 8s and the 9s, and reverse its polarity from something that's going to pull energy from the body at a positive millivolt to shifting it to a more electron concentrated to more negative ions, which is going to contribute energy to the body. But as we look at the most acidic areas of the country here in the United States, we see that it is in the area of the southeast, eastern states, where their diets are more focused on acid foods, not plant-based, live foods, but more cooked, processed animal foods, high sugars, and this is where you know, these are the where the highest concentrations or populations of diabetes and obesity are. And the reason why is because obesity is the body in its perfect way trying to protect itself from an over-acidic lifestyle and diet, and diabetes is just the breakdown and destruction of the intestinal villi and the body feeding on itself, and the body pancreas overworking trying to keep up with its, as the squirt gun of the body trying to neutralize the acids that are coming from the stomach to raise the pH of the food in preparation for that food to be transformed. Well, it becomes overstressed with a diet that's high in animal proteins and sugars. And so this is where we're seeing higher concentrations of obesity and diabetes. So when we look at acid and its effect on other human beings, it's like, you know, the famous actor Brendan Fraser, you know, you see the before and afters on someone who is on an acidic lifestyle and diet. Val Kilmer, the before and after pictures on acid. Alec Baldwin. Why are their bodies changing? They're retaining this acid because the congestion is happening because the elimination organs aren't clearing it out. Even Arnold Schwarzenegger to Russell Crowe, to Christy Alley. I mean, what are these people eating? You know, the seafood diet, as we all know, is if you see it, you eat it. Acts high protein, South Beach, the Maker's diet. These are all zone diet. Eat for your blood type diets, carbohydrate live lovers, protein lovers, Dr. Fields, the yo-yo. All these diets miss the point. And the point is, it's not about depriving your body of food. It's not about carbohydrates. It's not about proteins. It's not about fats. It's about putting in light force into your body, electrons, because the body runs on electrons, not on sugar, and building blood. And as we maintain the alkaline design of the body, then the body will stop holding on to its excess weight as a protection to protect the organs that sustain life. None of these diets address that. People lose weight, but that doesn't mean they're healthier. And I've established that, you know, by looking at the blood of those people that are eating these kinds of diets that are losing weight. They look good on the outside, but they've destroyed or have compromised the core of their bodies. It's where all life begins. So when we're looking at a diet that's high in protein, and we're seeing the quality of the blood. Blood is not healthy on a protein diet. Blood is not healthy on a carbohydrate diet. Even if it's a raw diet that's high in high sugar fruits and vegetables, you're not going to make good healthy blood and in turn build healthy body cells and organs and glands if you're eating these types of foods. And I see this over and over again. So, you know, this is a serious problem because the parents do not understand the physiology of the body and how it works. They don't understand the basis of nutrition is in building blood and eating those foods that build blood and what foods that are the best blood-building foods, and that what protein does to damage the root system of the body and what sugar does, because it damages it too, and how our bodies run on electron resources and not on proton sources, and that our body is naturally alkaline in its design. And so we start seeing these problems with children, you know, packing on the pounds because they're trying to protect themselves from all these acidic processed foods, from hamburgers to French fries to Hershey's to soda pops to popcorn. I mean, children today are eating and drinking over 200 pounds of sugar and 200 pounds of animal flesh each year. These are both highly acidic and are damaging to the core of the body, damaging the intestinal villi. And so these children, as they're going into their adolescence, you know, and becoming adults, they're not building healthy organs, and so they're experiencing some of the symptoms of older people. So they're having strokes, they're having heart attacks, they're getting childhood cancers, that before wasn't happening. And the obesity problem is an acid problem, and it's killing our children. Our children are overweight because of the acidic foods that they're eating and drinking. And I've seen this problem worldwide, in China, in Italy, New York City, it doesn't matter where Shelley and I have gone, we have seen this problem in the children because they do not understand what builds healthy bodies. And so as they pack on the pounds and as they damage the root system, they become a candidate for diabetes, which is also on the rise too as well. It's the fastest growing illness in the world today is diabetes. Why? Because of what kids are eating and what they're drinking. And they're highly acidic. So in the pH Miracle book, the revised and updated book, which was released in 2010, we outlined these seven steps to your ideal health. We need to superhydrate. We need to eat right for life. We need to exercise. We need to be able to support this alkaline design with nutrition because our soils and the food, a lot of the foods we eat are depleted of electron-rich life force energy. We need to understand that our emotions do impact the alkaline design of our body. And again, set goals, write them down so that we can be focused on what we want in life. And then step seven can be actually step one, cleanse our body from the inside out with an alkaline lifestyle and diet. We have to clear the channels of elimination, the bowels, the kidneys, you know, the lungs, and of course the skin, in order to remove these metabolic, dietary, environmental, and respiratory acids need to be eliminated in order to maintain the purity and cleanliness of the internal environment, which in turn retains the health of the body cells. So I have four food groups that I recommend. I call it the COWS program. COWS is an acronym. The first food group is chlorophyll. The second food group is oil and oxygen. The third food group is water, and the kind of water, and S is the fourth food group, is salts, mineral salts, sunshine, sweating, stretching, the COWS program. When we're living our lives more like those animals, the strongest in the world, you know, the fastest, you know, those that live the longest, when we focus those people that live the longest, they're eating a diet that is focused more on chlorophyll, oil, water, and salt. And it has to be specifically in those areas, reducing our acid loads from our diet. This is how you lose weight. This is how you restore health and vitality to the fluids and to the blood and to the rest of the body. So the new paradigm then is a shift. I call it the three C's. We need to cleanse. We need to purify the inner rivers and streams and oceans of our body. We need to control, you know, the acidic lifestyle and dietary habits we've had in the past. We need to reduce our acid loads and move to a more constructive type lifestyle and diet that's going to be focused more under chlorophyll, oil, water, and salt, you know, stretching and exercising, deep breathing. We need to control our acidity. We need to maintain the alkaline design and construct new and healthy cells. And so hyperperfusing the tissues with alkaline water at 9.5 pH with chlorophyll, it can be liquid chlorophyll, it can be greens, powdered greens, liquid greens, fresh greens that you drink on a daily basis. I recommend drinking at least 4 liters if you want to maintain good health. If you're dealing with any symptomology that you want of ill health or sickness or disease, then I recommend that you increase that to 6 liters, and that's based on 70 kilos or 154-pound person. And, of course, here we can see the transformations of Mike Flack literally losing, you know, many pant sizes and weight because as you reduce the acidic load of the body, you know, the body then releases the fat as a protection, and of course you lose weight while you're restoring health to the other organs and organ systems. Greens are the way to go. Green salads, green juices have the same structure as blood and therefore cleanse and build your blood and from there build your body. They're high energy, they're electron rich. You know, and processed food, cooked foods are dead foods. They've lost their electrical potential. When we look through using Krillian photography, we can actually see the life force of these greens. There's life force energy that comes off them. And not only for humans, but also for animals. We need to move more to green foods. Here you see a picture of a golden retriever eating broccoli. Broccoli will help build that animal's blood, in turn build strong bones and muscles. The Back to the House of Health 2 book contains many recipes and recommendations on this green food, this peach miracle diet. This focuses more on alkalinity and those foods and drinks that are going to be sustainable, that are going to sustain life force energy and prevent sickness and disease, because that really is the cure for sickness and disease, is will be found in its prevention. Staying away from deadly diets that are proton rich, that are acidic, that contain foods that are don't build blood, that are not high in chlorophyll, that don't contain good unsaturated oils that help build the membranes of cells. You know, an animal flesh is something that I believe one should never eat, because it cannot be liquefied unless you put it in a blender prior to swallowing it. It cannot be alkalized sufficiently to an 8.4 because it's highly acidic. It's saturated with nitric, sulfuric, phosphoric acids, oxalic acids. These acids are detrimental to the system. They pull from the alkaline reserves of the body and set the stage for disease. And they compromise the blood. So when you look at healthy blood, before eating, let's say, something from animal source, from chicken or turkey or eggs or pork, and then you look at the blood after, you can see that the acids from that food get into the bloodstream and cause the cells to stick together. Why? Because acids are like molecular glue. They're positively charged, and red blood cells are negatively charged, so they cause an electromagnetic attraction, cause the cells to chain together. You know, it's the first evidence that we see, you know, in plant patients who are eating diets that are high in protein. The other is we see the white protein pools in the center, which indicate, and the dark centers indicating the undigested animal proteins in the beginning stages of prostate problems to uterine problems for women to small and large bowel irritation, inflammations, and degenerations. Undigested proteins is what happens, because here again, these fibers cannot be broken down to a liquefied state. Even the China Project, who studied looking at rates of over 50 diseases, found that the wrong kinds of fat, you know, that was ingested twice as much in the U.S. The fiber intake was three times lower in the U.S. Animal protein 90% higher in the U.S. Heart disease death rate was 16.7-fold greater for men and 5.6-fold greater for women in the U.S. And other diseases were higher also in the U.S. In cancer, osteoporosis, and diabetes than in China. And now we've imported our diet from America to the Chinese, and now they're starting to end up with the same diseases that increases that we're seeing here in the U.S. But there are some foods that provide life force energy, electron-rich, green foods, and there's some that are not. And I know that most of us are aware of these foods. When I'm using Korean photography, here's a picture of hamburger. There's not a lot of light force energy. Here is the electron. Here is the using Korean photography and the life force light coming off a single living lentil sprout at 150 millihertz. We can also see this electricity. And as we're looking at our foods and how we should design our plate, at least 80% of that should be alkalizing foods. If we're dealing with a serious symptomology like diabetes or cancer or heart disease, then all the foods should be alkalizing to the blood and to the tissues. But here we see a plate that's designed more 80-20 for more transitional type diet. And the foundational of our foods should be based upon greens such as grasses and sprouts, all the sprouts, parsley sprouts, wheat sprouts, barley sprouts, sunflower seed sprouts. All of these different sprouts are wonderful and will help build blood. All the leafy greens, all the good fats from avocados, from coconuts, from seeds like borage and flax and hemp, all provide the foundations for building healthy stem cells that in turn build body cells. We should limit the amount of sugary fruits that we eat and sugary vegetables. Nuts and seeds do not digest. They should be liquefied, if possible, into almond milks or seed milks that are pre-digested so the stomach can more easily alkalize those foods. And then, of course, if you're not a vegetarian, then of all the animal flesh, fish is the best. And of course, the fatty fish like salmon or tuna or trout. But here again, I'm not even recommending those because of you know some of the things that we're seeing now from Fukushima, you know, polluting our waters, and the contamination that's showing up in our fish. This is a serious problem. So we really have to be careful now with what we're eating. It's best to stay live. It's best to stay green. And it's best if we're really focusing on building healthy bodies is to juice that food or to blend that food. My latest research is showing that avocados and tomatoes and coconuts and onions and garlics and cucumbers and broccoli, grasses and sprouts and liberal amounts of salt, because salt is the foundation of alkalinity. Our blood is not salted with magnesium, it's salted with sodium. The ocean is salted with sodium. Why? Because it is the alkalizing element and the beginning element for all other elements that the body needs. So sodium is critical in producing sodium bicarbonate, which is the major alkaline buffer of the human body. The chloride side of that salt helps to produce iron for the blood and so preventing a variety of different forms of anemia. And so salt, sodium chloride is critical in the diet. We need to continue to include that into our diets. I like to start breakfast out with a green shake and fresh green juice. I do that every morning. I add avocado because of its high concentrations of good healthy oils, lutein, which is a phytonutrient that helps to neutralize acidity. I use lime, I use spinach, I use parsley, I use cucumber a lot. And I stay away from carrots, you know, because of the high sugar. Here again, you have to watch the sugar intake. The sugar is an acid. You understand it's not a fuel for energy. Our brain does not run on sugar. Our brain is electrical. It runs electrically, just like our heart. Our heart does not run on sugar. It's electrical. Our bodies are electric, and the foods that are raw have more electrical potential, more life force. It's carried with the chlorophyll molecule. Rather than almonds, we'll make almond milk. Here you see a picture of Shelley making fresh almond milk, which you can make what I call green milk. You take 50% of the fresh green juices of spinach, parsley, and celery, and then you take 50% almond milk. You mix it together. You make a very wonderful, smooth drink, which we call green milk. I love this quote by Shelley where she says, "I no longer feel like I'm stuck in the kitchen. I feel like I'm painting edible masterpieces with God's healing palette." Close quote. Well, if you're not making time for exercise, you might as well make time to die because you've got to move the body. The body is designed to move. When we're moving our body, we're moving acidic waste products. We're activating the lymphatic system, which pulls acids out of the connective tissue, which pulls acids out of the fatty tissues, and moves those out through the pores of the skin or back into general circulation to be eliminated through urination. So exercise. I recommend at least an hour today. Do an exercise that you love to do. Find whether it's walking, swimming, jogging, low impact if possible. The best thing you can do when you exercise, and the key to if you're exercising properly, is you sweat. Sweating, you've opened up the pores of the skin. You're removing metabolic, dietary, respiratory, and environmental acids out then through the pores of the skin, and this is the best thing or the best effect of exercise on a daily basis. So sweating is critical. Remember that with our foods, the foundational four food groups is alkaline water, good liberal amounts of sodium. I recommend at least anywhere from 10 to 12 grams a day of sodium chloride from natural sources, not processed sources. So sea salt, liquid salts, chlorophyll, liberal amounts of chlorophyll. Should be drinking with your water. You know, if you have low blood counts, you drink up to a pint of chlorophyll a day. I recommend between 100 to 150 milliliters a day, based on a body of 70 kilos or 154 pounds. But when we set a good foundation, then we can start building the framework, which is our emotional body. And we, as we start feeling better, we start thinking better. And as we start thinking better, we start doing better. I call this the teeter-totter of life, balancing out our life between protons and electrons, acids and alkalinity, you know, negative thoughts and positive thoughts, you know, reconnecting to our true self, which is the capstone or our spiritual body, which is housed within this tabernacle of clay. We need to prepare ourselves emotionally, realizing that there's three keys to our success. I call it the three T's. The first T is timing. Do we have enough time to reverse the acid loads of the body? The second T is thinking. Do we have stinking thinking, or do we have the type of thinking that's alkalizing? You know, we have loving thoughts or angry thoughts. We need to calm our mind. We need to get the constant chatter going on in our head and go to a place of calmness and peace. And meditation is a good way to do that. Yoga helps. Breathing helps. Exercise helps to break our patterns in our thoughts and move more to healthy thoughts. And as we become more alkaline, our thinking does improve. But you have to remember, the thinking requires energy, and when we're consuming energy, we're producing acid, so you can make yourself sick with your thoughts. So you have to remember that your thoughts can make you ill, and you have to continue to alkalize to minimize the acidic effects of your thoughts and to take in those alkaline salts to help build those alkaline salts to maintain the alkaline design of the body. This is critical. So sit down, write out your goals, set your goals. What do you want to achieve in the next 12 weeks? Do I want to lose weight? Do I want to feel better? Do I want to have sustainable energy? Do I want to sleep less hours? Do I want to look 10 years younger? Do I want sustainable energy? Do I want to improve my thought processes? Do I want to gain some muscle mass? If I'm underweight, do I want to gain some weight? If I'm overweight, do I want to lose weight? Do I have a serious health challenge? You know, do I want to get off my insulin? Do I want to reverse a cancerous condition? The beauty of the pH Miracle Lifestyle and Diet, it addresses the foundation of the healthy state or the healthy pH of the body, and helps to build the body. It helps to build the blood that then will give rise to healthy cells, body cells, and healthy organs and organ tissues. When we realize that all healing does not start from the inside out, from the head down, and reverse orders, reverse symptoms have appeared, but restated, we could put it like this. All healing starts from the bowel outward, because that's the core. That's where life begins. A reminder is our belly button. Our core blood is loaded with stem cells. This is where we make our stem cells. This is where we make our blood. So from the bowel outward, and then from the brain centers, and I don't know if you know this, but you have actually more brain cells in your core than you do in your head. The gut is the primary brain. It commands and controls everything else, even our secondary brain, which is in our head. And so when our gut is healthy, our thoughts can improve too as well. Our brain improves its ability to do its job. And so the brain centers to the organs they control, and then in reverse orders as symptoms are stored in memory. So the first symptoms you experience will be the last symptoms that are reversed, and the last symptoms are the first symptoms that will be reversed. When we understand that our bodies are perfectly designed for perfect health, when we begin this hydration process and hyperperfusing our bodies and with alkalinity, and then peeing our way to health, removing these excess acids as we're restoring health to every cell, to every organ, and to every organ system, this can only, I believe, be accomplished through an alkaline lifestyle and diet I call the pH Miracle Diet.